Hey everybody, it's Tim here. Just before we get started with today's show, I just wanted to let you know that we've got a special opportunity for you to join us on a live podcast recording. It's coming up next week. So next week, I'm actually going to be recording the very last podcast episode of the year. It's episode number 361. And I would love to invite you to join us on a Zoom meeting. I'm going to be recording it through Zoom. And anyone who wants to come along and have a bit of a chat, maybe ask questions in the chat, I'll probably bring some people on the mic if you want to say hi or anything like that. I want it to be a really fun way to end the year. We're going to do a bit of a wrap-up of all the things that we've achieved and had success with in 2023, and then talk about some of the exciting things we've got coming up in 2024. So if you're interested in that, then it's going to be in Melbourne time, 8 a.m. on Monday, the 11th of December. That's next Monday, if you're listening to this as it comes out around the Friday, which is Sunday, 1 p.m. Los Angeles time, 3 p.m. Chicago time, and 9 p.m. in London on Sunday, December 10. So Monday morning for me here. If you'd like to join us, you just need to head over to topmusic.co/xmaslive, X-M-A-S live, and you can get your Zoom link from there. It'd be great to see lots of you. And if you just want to pop in for 5 or 10 minutes or something like that, that's totally fine as well. No need to stay for the full hour, but it'd be great to see anyone who would like to attend and see me actually record a podcast live. So that's topmusic.co/xmaslive if you'd like to join us. Okay, on with the show. You're listening to the Integrated Music Teaching Podcast from Top Music. Tune in weekly as we interview music teachers and experts from around the world to explore creative activities and ideas that build learning connections in students. Our integrated music teaching approach will deepen your students' understanding of musical concepts, engage them in critical thinking, improve their reading and performance, foster their curiosity, and prepare them for a lifetime of music making. Well, hello, teachers, and welcome back to the Integrated Music Teaching Podcast. You're listening to Tim Topham, your host for the show. And I can't believe we are almost at Christmas. This is absolutely crazy. How did the year disappear so quickly? Well, I hope you've been going really well. And I know many of you have been running recitals and end of year pizza parties and lots of fun events to wrap things up. So I hope they've been going really well. I know we're all pretty tired and pretty exhausted at this time of the year. So hang in there. Only a short amount of time to go before you get a little bit of a break. And hopefully you've got lots of fun family oriented and restful activities planned for that Christmas New Year break. Now, I'm not going to spend too much time introducing the show today because we have two separate little short 15-minute or thereabouts chats to come with two fantastic, amazing teachers who have become newly Top Music certified as part of our first pilot cohort for this year. You'll be meeting Julie Galen and Sue Stubbs from America and Australia, both of whom participated in our first cohorts and have recently submitted their portfolio and passed with flying colors and are now Top Music certified. So I thought I'd ask them on the show to give you their side of the experience of being Top Music certified. Last week, you heard from Beck and I as the facilitators on how things went. Now you get to hear from two people who actually went through the program themselves. So each of our teachers is going to introduce themselves when we start chatting. So I'll just go straight to it now. Let's start with Julie Galen. Julie Galen, it's great to see you again. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Tim. Glad to be here.
So please tell us a little bit about your studio, where you are, the kind of ages you teach and those sorts of things, just to give us a bit of background.
Sure. I am in Prescott Valley, Arizona. I have 36 students. I range from preschool, so ages 3, all the way up to my age, which is old and older. And about 12 of those are online. So I also do Zoom lessons as well.
Okay. And mainly one-on-ones otherwise?
Yes. Not as of the certification process. I've changed a little bit.
Oh, okay. We can talk about that in a minute. So before we get into that, why don't you take us back to earlier this year when you heard about Top Music certification for the first time? What kind of thoughts were running through your head about your studio and your teaching and perhaps any concerns or struggles that you had?
Yes, I was kind of in a bad place, to be completely honest with you. We had moved up here about a year ago. I had left a full studio with a wait list, but I was bored with myself, bored with my method books, bored with the way that I was teaching. And when I got up here, I was like, I don't know if maybe I just need a break. Maybe that's what it is. I need a break. And then my husband got laid off. So it was like, okay, well, I got to teach.
There goes that break. Yeah.
There goes that break. But I was like, what do I do? And I actually discovered your top music website and took some courses, and that actually put some sparks back into the thought about teaching again. And then I saw the certification come up, that you were going to be doing the certification, and I taking your courses and just navigating through your website. You're just so different. Everything was approached from such a different angle. I thought maybe this is what I need. I need a different approach. I need to have that fire lit under me again. And that is exactly what happened.
Oh, I just love hearing that some of my resources can reignite the passion for teaching and for music. I have heard it from some other people. And every time I do, it really gives me that sort of sense that, yeah, the work that I do does pay dividends and does make a difference to people, particularly when I hear a story like that. So what made you then take the leap to join that first cohort?
Well, that was it. I needed to do it. I had to do it. I had to have this fire lit underneath me again. I didn't know what to expect. I actually had signed up for a different certification process. And then reading through it, it was so boring, and it was just important. And just looking at all the work that I had to do, to be completely honest with you, all the work that I was going to have to do, I was like, oh, I just don't know if I want to do this. I don't want to do this. So that kind of pushed me in this direction. It was like this course or that course, what was a no-brainer. So
that's great. Well, one of those big differences that we would made changes-wise from other certifications that are out there was to make it a live weekly cohort-based program, so that we would all get together each week. And Beck and I, Beck was my co-facilitator, we absolutely loved those meetings and the energy that came from them. But what was your experience of those?
Oh my gosh, I loved them. And the fact that they were live, that I think that is really the final push towards the certification, joining the certification for me, was that they were going to be live. I thought that they were amazing. You guys were available to ask questions and have them answered immediately. We could pick your brain. We could just glean your energy straight through. And the fact that we had other teachers and we were put into breakout rooms with those other teachers, and to see them struggling with certain things that I was struggling with, and then they had knowledge of certain things and that different approaches to certain things that I wouldn't have had. That was just amazing. And then of course you and Beck are just amazing to have as mentors and teachers through this whole process, but just being able to do it live was just an amazing thing. Just a wonderful experience.
And it's really different in that sense to any of the other certifications, where you really are left on your own. It's like, okay, here's the criteria. Here's what you need to do. Off you go, have fun. And we didn't want to have that. We wanted to make sure that we were creating and building a community, and everyone was sharing and learning from each other, because that's so critical too. And as you say, just hearing that some people are going through the same challenges can just be affirming as well.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
So what are some of the top 2 to 3, if you can do it, positive changes that you've experienced either personally or professionally over the course of the 12 weeks?
Well, I have my furnace now raging fire lit. I'm excited. I'm excited to teach. My studio is full. I have group lessons now that I teach once a month. And my students and my parents were absolutely loving that. I've got a studio name and a studio logo.
Yes, well done.
And I've got long-term goals for myself and my studio, and I've got long-term goals for each of my students. Something I didn't even think as a piano teacher to do in the past. Now it seems so obvious to me.
Wow, it's wonderful to hear. And just in regard to the group, so you've added a group component. You haven't changed to group lessons per se, but you've added some group components. And what was the thinking behind adding that to your program?
I've taught group lessons before, and not being the owner of the studio, I was working for a friend to help her get her studio off the ground. And I just didn't like the way that she had it organized and her expectations were a little different, going down a little different of a path. So I had a bad taste in my mouth for group lessons. I hadn't thought of teaching them the way that I teach them now, just doing them hybrid. I had, through the certification process, I had been led to some podcasts on hybrid teaching and group teaching. Oh my gosh, I thought this makes sense to me. And group lessons, and I've always known group lessons can be so beneficial for students. They can, we have jam sessions, which is what we do. We have jam sessions. We do music games that involve rhythm, and we actually incorporate in different instruments, and we improvise together, and we learn chord progressions together, and then we improvise on those chord progressions, and then we compose a song as a whole group. It's just a fantastic thing. But I didn't want to give up that one-on-one, just to make sure those students, my students, are on track with the goals that I've set for them.
It's great that you've got a best of both worlds kind of situation there. So the kids can have that social interaction. It's also good for income as well to have those sessions, and you also get the one-on-one time that you enjoy. And that's just to say to all the teachers listening, there are many ways to structure your lessons. And one of the first things we do in the certification is go back to basics and just go, hey, what are your goals? What are your financial goals? What are the goals for you personally? What are your goals for your students? And it's great that you mentioned that as well, Julie, that you hadn't really thought about that. And a lot of teachers don't think about those things. We just teach and then wonder why things maybe aren't quite how we want them to be. Did anything surprise you about the certification?
Well, you just kind of hit on it. Just such a wide array of this industry that you guys taught us, from having us sit down and really look at our financials. What are we making per hour? When you take this, it's like, oh my gosh, that was a realization. To marketing strategies, to cross marketing, to, again, looking at the possibilities of teaching in a different way. Just the integrated approach. I was linear. I was your classic linear piano teacher, which is why I was so bored, I think. But being able to be taught how to teach in an integrated way, I didn't see that coming either. Just that circle. I always picture that circle that you have with the three circles where the parts where they meet, that's your meat. That's your creativity right there. And I just wasn't expecting just to hit that wide array of focuses.
Wonderful. What was the hardest thing about Top Music Certification?
Well, because I was so linear, and so, it's hard to break habits. That was my habit. That's how I was taught. That's the
and
way.
It's kind I of taught. Easy, isn't it? It might be
it
boring,
it's
but it's easy.
It's easy. I didn't even have to prepare half the time, So breaking that habit of teaching linearly was very, and still is, still difficult for me. And then the assessment process actually had me take a good look at me, not only mentally, but physically, because we had those videos. So I had to watch myself. That was hard.
It's really awkward at first, isn't it?
That was very, very difficult to look at myself and try to not beat myself up, but at the same time, see the good that I was doing and then see what I knew I could improve upon. That was very hard for me as well, but especially just breaking those bad habits. Not bad habits, I should say, boring habits.
Yeah. Well, it's good that you mentioned the assessment, because I wanted to talk about that. That was another area where we really wanted to do things differently. So we weren't just giving you essays and multiple choice quizzes. There were a lot of case studies. There was lots of choice as well, which I really thought was important. So you could choose to be assessed on things that were actually relevant to you, which so many other certifications don't do. So what was your thought on the assessment process?
Yeah, I really enjoyed the assessment process. I like to put my thoughts down on paper, which I would do at the end of every class that we had along the way anyways. So being able to take these students, these superficial students, and create a long-term plan for them, or help them learn a piece of music, really helped me learn and maybe outline the things that I could do in my studio. This is how I need to address all of my students now that are at this level or at an adult or a transfer student. It helped me create an outline for what I could do with them when they come in. It helped me do my long-term goals for my students, putting it all in writing. It again made me look at myself and analyze what I was doing well. And I know what I need to work on. And I'm a lecturer. I need to be more of a questioner. And so that's one thing I'm probably going to continue to do is just every once in a while, I'm just going to take a video of myself and do a little check and not beat myself up too bad, but just make sure I'm following my protocols through the IMT program, the cohort, and to make sure I'm making improvements and just keeping in track with my goals.
Well, you're not alone there with the whole lecturer versus questioner approach. As teachers, we all tend to easily sort of fall into that. Let's just talk at our student and tell them this and speak. And of course, one of the top music pillars is a question student, you know, question-centric kind of teaching. Teaching that involves more asking more questions and getting students thinking than actually talking or telling them to do things. So it's great that you're starting to change that too. So we've talked about a couple of things that you are doing in your business and your teaching as a result of the certification, including like adding the groups and things. Was there anything else that you wanted to mention?
It's a fantastic program and my whole studio is different. My teaching is different. My kids have been able to glean that new enthusiasm off of me. My parents have been able to glean that enthusiasm off of me. I recently had a recital where I kind of addressed some things that I'm going to be implementing at the beginning of the year. And they were so excited. My parents were so excited to hear that. Yes. And just to see the changes, just physical changes, but inside my studio as well. I've got my goals on my 30-piece challenge set up. I've got my milestone challenges set up on the wall, all things that I learned through the cohort. And I, like I said, I don't know if I would even be teaching right now. I might have just taken a break for who knows how long. But I'm so in grateful for this program that it's lit my fires again and that I'm excited to teach.
Fantastic.
And I appreciate you. Thank you.
That's great. Well, what would you say to teachers who might be on the fence about, they might be, oh, I don't know, I'm gonna, this is a bit of a cost and, you know, time and all that kind of stuff. What would you say?
Well, I mean, I've already recouped cost because I'm doing my group lessons now. I'm charging more starting at the beginning of the year.
Yay.
We always undervaluate yourself. I was way undervaluating myself. So I'm charging more. And you know what? The parents are fine with it. I thought that I would get all this backlash, but they're fine with it. It's if you're on the fence, just do it. What's it going to hurt? If you're in the situation that I was and you're feeling like you need some adrenaline shot in your arm, this is that adrenaline shot in the arm that you need. And even if you're just looking for some variety, oh my goodness, this is about the most variety that you could have. It just covers just a wide variety of things. Everything that I have done in this program has made an improvement in the way that I teach and in the way that I run my business as well.
Wow. So not only making some more money, you're clearly enthusiastic and passionate. I mean, it just comes through in your face and your voice and all that. I can see how that would be rubbing off on all your students. But you're also, you know, enjoying the teaching that you may have, as you say, may have been ready to move out of even or not consider it or just sort of trot along. So I'm just delighted that we've had a small part to help you with your approach and how you're feeling about teaching. And it means a lot that you came on the show today. So thank you so much, Julie, and we wish you all the best from Top Music.
Thank you, Tim. I really appreciate you and Rebecca. Thank you so much.
Hi everyone, I wanted to take a moment to let you know about an amazing community of music teachers ready to welcome you over at Top Music Pro. Top Music Pro is the global hub for music teachers looking to connect, learn, grow, and be challenged in both their teaching and studio businesses. Community members save time by accessing hundreds of step-by-step lesson plans, creative teaching frameworks, business guides, online courses, and workshops. We offer training in topics as diverse as music technique, lead sheets, website building, intermediate repertoire, group teaching, and special needs teaching. We also save you money through our extensive discounts, including those with Music Notes, Sheet Music Plus, Music Room, Office Depot, Tonebase, and many more. And if you like sheet music, all our members get a free book of studio-licensed, beautifully engraved sheet music each and every month. As a valued podcast listener, you can check out the Top Music Pro community free for 14 days by heading to topmusicpro.com, clicking Join Now on our studio tier, and using the special coupon code IMTPOD23. That's all one word. So that's IMTPOD23. We can't wait to welcome you inside. Well, I wonder if some of you listening had some similar thoughts to Julie or have had over the last few years. And if so, then definitely consider becoming Top Music Certified and joining our next cohort. I'll be giving you some more information on how to do that a little bit later in the show. But now, let's move on to our newly certified Australian teacher, Sue Stubbs. Welcome, Sue Stubbs. Thanks for coming on the show.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
So why don't we start with a quick overview of your studio, whereabouts you are, obviously Australian because I can hear it in your accent and I know you will anyway, studio numbers and ages and that sort of thing.
I'm a home-based studio teacher, so it's just myself. I've got 25 students and it's a combination of adults and children. So my youngest started when she was 4. And my eldest is 84 years old. So a big range there.
4 to 84. It's great.
Yeah, I love it. And actually about 20% of my students are adults, which I find is a really significant proportion. So, and I love teaching adults. So I teach 4 days a week at the moment because I'm also studying at uni as well. And I think my point of difference, which is what attracts people to me in my local area, is that I do try to have a creative approach so that I'm always doing games, using manipulatives, composing, transcribing, so those kind of things. It's not just your simple sit, book in front of you, let's go. Yeah, so that's me.
And what are you studying?
Oh, I'm studying a Master's of Learning and Teaching. So, you know, just for something to do in my spare time.
Fantastic. I'm sure it'll give you lots of sort of pointers and new points of reference and ideas and things that you can bring to your teaching. And
absolutely. The connections I'm making between my work, business, the certification and this master's course, it's great.
Fantastic. Well, good on you for keeping up that professional learning. Speaking of that, as one of our Top Music Certified teachers, I want to sort of go back a little bit to when you first heard about Top Music Certification. What thoughts were you having about your studio and teaching at the time? So maybe, you know, maybe struggles or challenges or perhaps concerns that we spoke to when we were talking about the certification program.
I thought long about this and, to be honest, there actually was a bit of FOMO, so I didn't want to be the one missing out. So that's one of the reasons why I jumped at doing the first cohort. I thought, if I want to do this, I'm going to do it. But some of the challenges that really led me to wanting to do a course like this certification was more along, it frustrates me that particularly teachers who work from home are seen as just having a hobby. It's just for a little bit of pin money on the side. And that lack of professionalism in how people perceive us was quite frustrating. So I was looking for something that would really add to that image of professionalism that I wanted to promote in my studio. The other thing was I've already got a couple of qualifications, so I didn't want to just do another academically based course, and I'm doing that with my master's degree anyway. So when I saw that certification was all about integrating creative teaching, I thought, yeah, this is me, because I love the creative aspect that we can play with in our lessons, but I still wasn't comfortable with how I was doing it. Sometimes it felt like an add-on, you know, there'd be a game at the end of the lesson. And so the creativity was there, but it wasn't done in that really integrated way. So that's what really caught my eye for doing the certification. And just to receive a qualification of some sort at the end of it, and the ability to put that certification after my name really validated the approach that I was taking and added to that whole professionalism of it.
One of the big differences with Top Music Certification was the live cohorts. So we met weekly for 12 weeks, and those sessions were just great from our perspective as facilitators. We, Beck and I, really enjoyed those. But tell us about your experience of those live weekly meetings.
Look, they were just invaluable. I was actually just messaging another one of the cohort members this morning, and our cohort's finished, you know, but we're still in contact. I'm in contact with a few other of the members there, just talking through things and continuing. And that's the kind of benefit you get. So not only do you get a chance to talk with people in real life, so even though this is online, you're not by yourself. You've got a whole group of people that you're going through the same process with, and every week you meet them, and every week you get a chance to hear their perspectives. You get a chance to have your perspectives challenged or validated, and that just creates much deeper learning. But probably the best thing is the connections that you get out of it, because teaching in your home studio can be quite isolating. And it's just really invaluable to have made those connections and to be continuing with them and getting so much more benefit even after the course is finished.
It was just great to be amongst other professional, fun, engaged teachers. I think it just gave me a buzz every time we met.
It did. Yeah. And it gave you that accountability as well, so that every week you knew you were going to have to be ready to have a conversation and to have a discussion. So it was a good accountability as well.
So this might be a bit of a challenge, but could you narrow down a top two or three positive changes that you've experienced either personally or professionally over the course of the 12 weeks?
Look, it was a challenge to narrow it down. I was trying to think of these beforehand, but I'm actually reevaluating how I include creativity in my lessons. I mean, as I said before, I've always done it. But for me now, it's about how do I do it, why do I do it, and when. So it's really aimed at making that creative element purposeful so that there is a clear link between what I'm trying to achieve with the student and how I'm doing that through a creative activity or whatever it may be. And it just means that I actually need to be much more prepared in what I'm doing, because I need to know why I'm doing it and why I'm making those choices. So that's been one of the big ones. The other thing is that now I'm much more confident in terms of talking about my pedagogical approach with parents and with my peers as well. So with music teacher associations and teachers in other realms, not just music, it's really useful to be able to have a conceptual language to put around what I do, how I do it, and why, so that everything I'm doing has a purpose. It's not just a conglomeration of activities that I put together. So they're two of the really positive changes. So one is about how I'm approaching the lesson planning, and the other one for me personally is just having that language and having that confidence in what I'm doing.
I love that idea of purposeful creativity, where instead of just, oh, let's play this game because it's fun, it's no, well, we can play this game or we can do this activity because it supports your learning of this, or supports making this connection between this part of music and this, or this theory and that practice. So, yeah, that's exactly one of the things that I wanted to share. So that's great to hear. Did you get any surprises? Anything surprise you about the certification?
Yeah, it just reminded me, I mentioned before, it reminded me that I can't do this by myself. When I'm in my studio at home, it's just me. And that's fabulous because I'm in, you know, control of what I do and how and everything. But I need to be accountable not only to my students, but to myself. And I have to make sure that I'm still supporting myself, I'm developing. So just reinforcing that networks and connections with other teachers and just constant improvement of myself and my studio is really important. And I'd kind of forgotten that. So it was a really good reminder. which I didn't expect, but very glad.
And look, we know it was a challenge. Like, the process was designed to be challenging, both in the thinking going on, but also in that, yes, we do have homework and we do have a portfolio to submit at the end. What was the hardest thing, if there were any, challenge-wise in regards to the certification?
I'd probably say there were two challenges. One was, it actually is a commitment. So if you're going to do it, you do need to fully understand that it's a commitment of your time and your effort. Not only the weekly homework, as you said, and the weekly Zoom meetings, but also the thinking that needs to go on behind the scenes, because you're being challenged in how you do your very, you know, your core principles of why and what and how. And that's a lot of thinking time, processing. And then the other thing is, the portfolio is actually a substantial piece of work. So don't be fooled into thinking that that's just throw a few videos together. No, it really is that evidence of your learning journey. And so you do need to dedicate time to that. And the other hard thing about it, the other challenge, was one of the portfolio tasks. And that was the one where we had to look at developing a five-year plan for a student's educational journey. And I found that challenging because, yes, we set goals and, yes, we review them, but to have that long-term perspective was really challenging and something that I think I'm going to keep doing, because that just informs so much more of what you do on your daily basis.
Mm. That was always going to be a challenging part of the portfolio. And I should mention to people listening too, there are lots of options in the portfolio, and this is an optional one of the choices that you can make depending on what you feel is going to be most valuable to you. So I'm glad it was a challenge in some respects, because I think we do often neglect to think very far in the future. And 5 years is a fair way in the future for students, particularly when you have them coming and going all the time and they hit those teenage years and we can be challenged. So, yeah, congratulations on taking on that as a question, because it is, it's a big one. And look, I should say congratulations for submitting your portfolio. Yay, you got it. Got it in, submitted, all good.
I did it.
You did it. So you've already mentioned, yeah, it's a substantial piece of work. How did you feel, though, about the way we assessed you? Because I also wanted to make that different. It's not just, here, write an essay on this, or multiple choice questions, this. We really wanted to incorporate reflection as well, and I know that that was part of what you submitted.
I liked how the portfolio as an assessment piece, it was not only assessment of your learning, but it was assessment for learning. So I was learning during the process of preparing the portfolio. So I really liked how that happened.
How did that happen for people who are wondering?
How did it happen? Because I had to go through a process of learning to really decide what I wanted to do. The tasks that were in the portfolio, you had choices, which was great. You could pick which was most relevant to you and your point of where your studio was, where you are in your learning. So that made it really relevant to be able to choose something. It made it relevant. It also made it more engaging for me to want to do a better job at the portfolio, because it was going to affect how I could then move forward with my studio. So with the five-year plans and with some of the budgeting and some of the repertoire analysis, it really will impact what I do now in my studio. So it was a process that was not just about collecting pieces of information. It was about showing the evidence of where I've gone in my learning through those 12 weeks.
And also, in some cases, reflecting on what you've done, which I think is a missing piece in a lot of other assessments. So, yes, we did want to see you teaching a student something, but then after that, we wanted you to reflect on, well, how did that actually go and what would you do differently, and things like that. So, it's not a matter of the video is either wrong or right. It's just as important that you demonstrate the reflection on what you've done.
And it's a critical reflection. You're not just writing notes. You're having a critical process where you say, what happened? Well, what's the significance of that? And what am I now going to do with that now that I've had those reflections? So it really was a critical process. So it's good value.
You've mentioned a few changes in your thinking that have occurred. What changes are you making to your studio business and or your teaching as a direct result? And I know there's probably a few different things. Have you got one or two that you could share?
Yes. I'm actually changing. I'm changing how I lesson plan. I've got a set process, or I had a set process for my lesson planning, and it was very much guided by my thoughts of where I needed the student to go. Yes, the student had goals, but now I've got more of a relaxed attitude to how I'm implementing those lesson plans. So what it means is I've had to become way more familiar with all of the resources I've got so that I know, yes, this is my plan, but I can draw on these aspects or I can draw on that resource if I find a student needs help with this particular aspect. So I'm more likely to be flexible in implementing my lesson plans than what I previously was. So yes, they're still creative, but you can be inflexible in how you implement something, even though it might be creative. So I'm doing that. The other thing that I'm doing is that I'm starting some group lessons next year. And that's actually based on my reflections that I went through for the portfolio about the five-year journey of a student and about how I engage with parents and about what is my studio philosophy and goals statement. So I'm changing what I'm offering so that I can group students according to what their goals are that matches how I'm teaching. This might be a long, convoluted way of saying it, but I guess I'm funneling students in a more logical way for me rather than just throwing the same product to every single student.
I've got the biggest smile on my face because one of those first cohorts, we talked about studio structure and it all coming back to the vision and the goals for your studio, because we all, so many of us sort of fall into teaching when we just kind of, we do what we've been doing without too much thought about why. And so it sounds like this certification has really got you to consider why and therefore what is the best way of me developing these students and getting to the goals that I have for myself and my studio and also the goals for the students. So that's fantastic. I'm so pleased
Absolutely.
To hear it.
Yeah, that's it.
All right. So last question. So what would you say to teachers considering joining the certification program in the future?
I think if you decide to do it, you are making a really positive commitment to yourself and to your studio. Be realistic about whether you can commit to the time and the effort, because you won't get everything out of it unless you're able to commit to it. But if you can do it at this point in time, if you can do it, get into it, join up. For me, it's just reinforced that professionalism of what we're offering. It's given me the confidence to be able to know where I'm going with my studio, what's going to be the best products that I can offer my students and matching them. And then being able to connect with other teachers and other peers and getting the benefits out of that. So personally, professionally, and collaborating with other teachers, there's just those three levels of benefits. You don't want to miss out on that. It's so valuable, particularly for teachers who are in their own private studio and are looking for professional development. It's a good investment, a good financial investment with lots of outcomes.
Well, Sue, it's been an absolute pleasure having you in our first cohort, and congratulations on getting it all done and
yes,
and getting certified. So thank you so much. And thank you for being on the show today to share your views with us all. Anything else that we've missed that you wanted to add?
I don't think so. Thank you for the invitation for being on here. And it's been a really positive experience that is just continuing to give.
Fantastic. Thanks so much, Sue.
Thanks.
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to Sue and Julie's stories of what brought them into certification and how they've changed as a part of it. If you are interested in doing the same thing and finding out more, at least, then we are going to be running a live Q&A coming up in the first couple of weeks of January. I'm going to talk to you about that in just a second. But before that, I did want to share two other bits of feedback that we've got from two other teachers who are on that first cohort as well. The first one is from Anita, who said this. This course was quite an adventure for me. I love the way you covered a little bit of everything and spread each topic out. It works really well. I'm still learning, but can already see the difference this is making, and I feel it will change things for me and my students in the long run. It's lovely working live with other teachers. Unplanned communication and conversations are always a challenge, so cohort-based learning is a very good experience for me. And we also heard this from Nikki. I've been amazed how effective the Top Music certification has been. It's an immersive experience where the extent of the learning comes through during the whole course. It has been delightful to make connections with other committed teachers and learn from and with them. I believe that being part of this learning program will have a long-term effect on my teaching. I'll miss the weekly meetups and opportunity to be with like-minded people. Thanks, Tim and team. Cheers, Nikki and Anita. It's great that you were able to be a part of this as well. So let's talk about the live Q&A. The date for it, it's going to be on Tuesday, January 9th at 8 a.m. Melbourne time. So that will be Monday, the 8th of January. At 9 p.m. London time, 3 p.m. Chicago, 1 p.m. Los Angeles. That's Monday, the 8th of January, if you are in London or America, and 8 a.m. Tuesday morning here in Australia, January 9. So to reserve your spot, head over to topmusic.co/TMC. It's totally free, and we will record it if you can't make it live. Feel free to send any questions that you've got. If you can't make it live, just shoot them through to support@topmusic.co, and we'll make sure that we do our best to answer them live on the call. But of course, if you are intending to potentially join us for our next live cohort, which actually starts in February, so we'll go February, March, April, then try your best to come and join us if at all possible. Well, that's it for me this week. We've only got two shows left for the whole year. And next week, we've got a pretty massive announcement to make because something is changing in regard to this podcast. And I'm going to be telling you all about it this time next week. Make sure you tune in. I'm Tim Topham, and you've been listening to the Integrated Music Teaching Podcast. Speak to you next week. How do you keep up to date with all the latest trends and research into music education? How do you connect with other teachers around the world and make sure your teaching stays fresh and relevant for students of all ages and stages, both now and into the future? I created our Top Music Pro membership to be the one-stop shop for music teaching resources, training, support, and community, and I'd love for you to come and join us inside. With over 40 comprehensive training courses, hundreds of teaching demonstrations and lesson plans, free monthly sheet music, discounts, and all the business and pedagogy support you could ever need, Top Music Pro is the community you've been looking for. If you're ready to level up your learning from the podcast and join thousands of other teachers in our global network, head over to topmusicpro.com today. If you enjoy this show and want to hear more of our work, be sure to subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening today. For links and resources mentioned in this episode, visit us at topmusic.co/podcast or check out the show notes. I'm Tim Topham, and this is the Integrated Music Teaching Podcast, a production of Top Music. Thank you so much for listening. Enjoy your week ahead, and I'll catch you next time.